Romans chapter 8. Let's get our direction going. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 8, verse number 11. The Apostle Paul says, but if, he says, if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by the Spirit that dwelleth in you. Amen. Another says, if the Spirit of Christ of God that raised Christ from the dead dwells in us, it makes us alive. So I'm going to build on this today. If you look with me to Ephesians chapter 2, and we're going to go to our text today, and we'll see what the Lord wants to do. One thing I love about the Father, he is the author and finisher of our faith. So the word goes forth and it has a response. Amen? Amen. So I believe that God's word says it'll never return void. It'll accomplish what he sent it to do. So God has a purpose in this word today. And God knew every last one that would be here today. And God is not going to leave anybody out. He has something to say to everyone. Amen. That's what excites me about the God I serve, because he's no respecter of persons. He loves me because when he looks down from heaven, all he sees is his Son. Amen. And his Son is in me and I am in him. And you and I are in Christ Jesus. Amen. And if you're not in Christ Jesus, praise God. Hopefully and prayerfully, you'll be in him before you leave here today. Amen. So in Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 1, he says, and you have he quickened or made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. Who were? Where in time past, before, ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had, past tense, our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath or anger, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, have quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and have raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come we might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace you are saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. The title of the, I'm going to focus your attention today on verse number 5 for the message this morning. It says, even when we were dead in sins, have quickened us together with Christ, by grace you were saved. And the title of this morning's message is The Trace of Grace. And the word trace means to, one of the definitions of trace means to follow the steps of, to follow the steps of. So we're going to look at three things today: to look like, to live like, and to act like the one that called you. Amen? Amen. So let's lift our word in the house today. Amen. And let's make a declaration in the house. Say, I believe this is the written word of God. God wrote this word to me. I am what God says I am. I can have everything God says I can have. I can be who God says I can be. Today, I will hear God's word. My life will be changed. It'll never be the same. Lord, speak to me. I'm listening. My ears are open. My heart is attentive. Thank you, Jesus, for choosing me. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, we're so grateful for the power of agreement. And Lord, as we came in agreement to hear from you today, Father, I pray, Father God, that you speak to this vessel today. May the words that proceed out of this mouth be words from you and not from me. May the words that are spoken bring edification, exhortation, and comfort to the hearers that are here. Father, if there's anyone here that does not know you, may this be the day of their salvation. For those that have drifted away, may this be the day of their return. And for the entire body of Christ, we thank you, Father God, because we're going to be refreshed and renewed in you. And we'll never cease to give you all praise and glory, for I ask these things in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen and amen. Amen. You know, he's quickened us even when we were dead. You know, he's talking about our mortal bodies here, and this isn't the resurrection. This is today. Amen. God wants to make us alive in him. But one of the things he says is we're to look like him. Have you ever heard someone say to you, you look just like your father? Has anybody ever said that to you? And that's what we're being transformed. We're not conformed to this world, but we're being transformed by the renewing of our mind. You know, so we're becoming his image. It's kind of even interesting. I've noticed this with families. It's really interesting that even when someone adopts a child as a little baby, all of a sudden they take on the image of their parents. All of a sudden they become to look like them. I don't care if they're a white parent with a black child. The black child starts getting the features and begins to look like the parent. It's kind of amazing. And God is saying to you, as we trace his steps, as we trace the steps of Jesus, we become transformed into his image. Amen? Look at the one next to you and say, you look just like Jesus. Hallelujah. So look with me to begin with. And where am I at? Hallelujah. Look with me in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Hallelujah. We'll begin with reading verse number 8, okay? He says, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. Amen. In other words, as we follow, we become elements of what we follow. So if we're following Jesus and we're tracing his steps, we're following Jesus, we're being transformed back into his image. You know, when we were born and we were created in the image of God, each and every one in the world. And sin of this world has distorted the image. But Christ, seeing this, took our sin on the cross of Calvary so that we can be transformed into his image, so that we can get the original image that God created us to be. Amen? You know, as a matter of fact, in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 18, the Apostle Paul says, hey, it's like looking in a mirror. Amen? Has anybody ever looked in the mirror and seen the glory of the Lord? I've seen the glory of the Lord. And it isn't about me. It's his glory, not mine. He says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, but we all with open face, beholding in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image. From glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. In other words, I'm not telling you you're the image of God. God is telling you that you were created in his image and that the adversary has tried to steal that image, and God's going to bring it back, and he's restoring it to you. Amen? And he's restoring it to me. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Look at the one next to you and say, you look like Jesus. Hallelujah. Look at the one on the other side and say, you're beginning to look just like your father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hey, let me say this. Listen to me. God is going somewhere with this. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The adversary has distorted the image of many in this room. The adversary has stolen your worth and your value. And God is here to restore it to you. Amen. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift a standard against him, and that standard was raised in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on now. You know, look with me in Colossians chapter 3. I love God's word. As a minister, I don't have to do anything. The word does it all. The Word and the Spirit does it all. All I have to do is stand up here like a goofball sometimes and let it come through. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. I'm always reminded, if God can use a jackass, he can use me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But Colossians 3:10 says this. It says that we got to do something. He said in Colossians 3:10, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. It's important to know the one you're following. That's why he says, study to show thyself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Amen. That as we're following the steps of the Lord, we begin to look just like him. And you know what he's like? I got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart, up in my head. I got it everywhere, I guess. I forgot the song. Because the joy of the Lord is our strength. I'm following the one that brings me joy. He gives me joy unspeakable in the fullness of glory. Hallelujah. Amen. You know what? This is a happy place to be. Hello? That adversary wants you to think, just because somebody's weeping and crying at the presence, in the presence of God, that it's a sad place, but there's tears of joy. Amen? There's tears of joy. Joy unspeakable in the fullness of God's glory. Amen? That God has a plan in my life. He said, I know the plans that I have for you. It's for good, not for evil. That everyone has a hope and an expected end. We're not here without a purpose and a plan. Amen? That God has a plan in every heart and every life. And every lie that the adversary has spoken to you, we want to take authority over those lies and bind those lies and send them back to the pits of hell where they belong, so you can recognize who you are and who God created you to be. Amen? I'm more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. I can do all things through him. Amen. I got to get it in my heart, my mind. Amen. I got to get from here to 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 here. Hallelujah. I'm not going to get excited. This is a soft-spoken message. Can somebody else preach it then? I'm not too good at this soft-spoken part, okay? Are you with me? Amen. Amen. Not only do we, when we trace his steps, when we follow his steps, we begin to look like him. We begin to live like him. You know, you become an element of what you surround yourself with. Whatever you're following, you'll become. Amen? So in other words, we're going to look like him, but also we're going to live like him. Look with me in Luke chapter 20. Luke 20, verse number 38. The word of God said, this is this. For he is not a God of the dead, but of the living. For all live unto him. I want you to understand something with me. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord. They might not all on this side, but every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. We have the opportunity to do it now and operate in the blessing. I don't know about you, but I love the favor of God. I love the blessings of God. I'm blessed when I go. I'm blessed when I come. His face shines upon him. His glory is on me. I'm blessed and highly favored of God. But I want to hear these words from him. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. I don't want to hear it from you. I don't mind hearing it from you, but I want to hear it from him. I want to hear it from him when he says, enter in. Hey, man, I don't know about you, but I'm not just starting this race. I'm going to finish this race. Hallelujah. I'm going to cross the finish line. Praise God. So look with me in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're still going someplace. Verse number 15 says that, and that he died for all, that they which live should not live, And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. In other words, the revelation and understanding is my life is not mine anymore. I've surrendered my life to him. Not my will, Lord, but thy will be done. Amen? Amen. It's sometimes that's a lot easier said than done. Amen? But I can do all things through Christ. Amen? I've got a helper. I've got an advocate. I got a paraclete. I got the Holy Ghost. I'm not in this by myself. You're not in this alone. Amen? God said he'll never leave you nor forsake you. He's always with you because he's right inside of you. Amen? And you hear that gentle voice giving you direction. Problem is we're a rebellious people. You know, one of the things I've noticed? One of the hardest things people have in this world, the biggest things I see, is being submissive. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. Well, you know what they call that in the Bible? They call it rebellion. And the Old Testament says rebellion is witchcraft. He says that we're to submit to one another in the fear of the Lord. Amen? Nobody's here to lord over anybody. Amen? But God's given us instructions. Basic instructions before leaving earth, right? Amen? We've got the instruction book. It's pretty simple to read. You may not understand everything, but the Holy Spirit will help you. Amen? Lord, look with me. I don't even know why I went to that road. I wasn't planning to go on that road, but that road came in. Turn with me to Romans chapter 14. Let's listen to what the Apostle Paul says in Romans 14, verse number 7. He says, for none of us liveth unto himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. Amen. I think it'd just be a little easier if we would just be a little submissive to his will and follow his instructions. How many are you was rebellious like me, and I had to learn most things the hard way? Is that just me? Or is there anybody else in the room? Amen. Amen. There was always a shortcut through the cross of Calvary, but I had to learn my way. I thought I could do it my way. Amen. Till I came to the revelation and the truth that I could not do it. Amen. Amen. That it's his strength. It's his strength. His strength is made perfect in my weakness. Amen. So as we're looking at this, he's saying, as we're tracing the steps of the Lord, we're beginning to look like him. You're looking just like your father. We begin to live like him. I think one of the most important things is what he wants to say to us today is we begin to act like him. How many know that our actions will speak louder than our words? Hallelujah. So turn with me to Colossians chapter 3 for a moment. How many know that this word here is building you up, not tearing you down? And if the adversary says there's bringing condemnation on you, it's the spirit of the liar that's speaking. God's word is here to build you up, not to tear you down. There's nobody judging you. There's not one person. There's only one judge. Jesus said, I didn't even come in the world to judge. And if Jesus didn't come in the world to judge, who am I to judge anybody? Hallelujah. Am I going to exhort myself above him? Well, I don't think so. But he says in Colossians 3:1, he says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Amen. So we're setting our affections on things that are above. You know, this world has so many things that want to pollute us. And God says we need to set our affection on things that are above. Amen. Where Christ sits. Amen. We're seeking heavenly things. Amen. I thank God for the heavenly things that helps me with the earthly things. Amen. Because without the heavenly things, I can't do the earthly things. Praise God. Amen. So look with me in Philippians chapter 3. An important lesson. As we're acting like the one we follow. The Apostle Paul said this in Philippians 3:13. He said, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. In other words, if you can't let yesterday go, you can never live in today. If you cannot let yesterday go, you'll never enjoy today. Paul says this, there is nothing I can do about yesterday. The only thing I have power over is what I have right now. So if I let yesterday's pains and hurts hold me prisoner, I never can live the life today that God had paved the way for me to have. Amen. The Apostle Paul said, I forget those things and I press towards the mark. It's like today at 1 o'clock in the NFL. Now, if all the players in the field just decide they just want to go from the 50 to the 20 and to the 50 on the 20 on each side of the 50-yard line, nobody's going to score. But they have a plan. They have a vision. What is their purpose? Their purpose is to cross the goal line. They're pressing towards the mark. If you're running a race, you want to cross the finish line. That's pressing towards the mark. And what the Apostle Paul was saying, you can't really press towards the mark if you're looking from your own end zone. You're going to run into something. You keep looking back. And there's not very many good receivers that can look back and catch a ball. There's not many defenders of receivers that can look back and watch the ball. They're following their master's sheet. They're trying to look at their actions, and they're going to turn around and try to block the pass. Amen. It's hard to run looking back. Is anybody with me here? Okay. So here's where we're going. What are we to act like? Turn with me to Acts chapter 4. Acts 4. We're to act. How am I going to act? Well, we have the Acts of the Apostles. Amen. In Acts chapter 4, verse 33. And with great grace gave the apostles witness of the resurrection, and the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Amen. Witnessing the resurrection. Let me say, the Apostle Paul said, if you believe that Jesus died and rose from the dead, if you don't believe in the resurrection, you do not have new life. In other words, great grace was given. That's our faith. Our faith is we're not going to die because Christ didn't die. I'm going to pass from life to life because what Jesus did. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Hallelujah. So Paul said, what am I going to act like? He's going to act like this. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection. Now we're talking about resurrection power. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 10. Look at the instructions that Jesus gave them. He said in verse 8, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. The abundance of grace was upon them. Grace received, grace given. In other words, when God empowers us, we're to be empowered to pour this grace out to others. Amen? Matter of fact, in John 1:16, the Word of God says this. I should just quote it. Why did I know that, Lord? Shame on me. In of his fullness have we all received in grace for grace. We receive grace for grace. And so many times I hear this, well, Pastor, that grace was upon the apostles. That grace was upon the disciples. That grace and that power wasn't for us. That's a lie from the pits of hell. You know, look with me in Luke chapter 10. Verse number 17. In closing. And the Word of God says, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. Amen. The same power that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you and I. We have resurrection power. We've received the grace of God, grace received, grace given. Amen. So in closing today, what is the Lord saying today? In closing, he says, hey, the trace of grace. That because of what Christ did for you and I on the cross of Calvary, we can look like, we can live like, we can act like the one that we follow. You know, I was praying this morning, and the Lord said that his children are in a war. And I said, in a war? And he said, yes. And he gave me this acrostic for war. He said the adversary has stolen the W, that he has stolen many of my children's worth. And if that is you, God wants to minister to you today. He said the adversary for the A has come in to steal my children's ability. My ability to follow me. Well, Pastor, I tried, but I just can't do it. God is here to minister to you today. And thirdly, the R, he said, Pastor, I'm not able to reflect his power to others. And God is here to minister to that today. And he wants you to understand that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through him for pulling down every stronghold. And if you're here today, and don't be worried about what people think, I'd be worried about what's going on in my life. That when you're being a prisoner, when the adversary's beating you up, and people are ridiculing you and saying all manner of evil about you, it's trying to steal your value and worth. God wants you to know that you're precious and you have great value. So first off, if you're here and the adversary's been trying to steal your value, your worth, would you please come? Come. Maybe you're here and Pastor, I haven't had the ability to live this life that God's called me to do. I've had things come in that's trying to steal that from me. Come on up. God wants to minister to you today.